So I'm not gonna lie, when you said you had the perfect piece of spam, at first I really thought you opened up a can of spam, like fried it in butter, and just like.
Dude, I've never had spam before, but I've seen so many people making like spam sushi stuff, like where they
Yes,
basically
if
fry
you,
sushi and roll it and make
yeah,
some
go
like
to Ohana Grill over
spam
by Lakeside. They
sushi.
do a spam quote unquote sushi thing. It's fucking delicious.
Gosh, that was a good one, because again, I
That
didn't
was
hear
good.
anybody's.
I'm seeing the
Wow.
four of me shouting 3, 2, 1, and then a really tiny clappy boy, and it looks good. Welcome everybody to
Josh.
Sit and Sock.
Yeah. I'm
Or
Kyle.
sit 'em a sock.
I'm Kyle.
I think I'm Kevin.
I'm Joe.
We lost Kendrick.
Kendrick's over here,
Oh, okay.
staring into the void.
Wow.
Well, that's
You
kind of like
always
the
go
normal
second. What
behavior
the hell?
I know. I
These
wanted to see what
people.
happened if I didn't.
It's
Chaos
just
Kevin took over.
silence.
Which is not
Yeah.
Kevin
Good
for
there was
us.
a
Look at me.
really
Look at me.
empty void there. It just it had
You're
to be
the
filled.
Kendrick now.
Hey guys, I want to talk about something
Damn.
today, and your mom's not gonna like it, Kendrick, because it's about video games. But this is actually an
Say, is that
interesting
like a
video
your
game.
mom
No,
joke? Like
your
a your mom
mom's not
joke
gonna
or
like it. No, it's just it was something I told Kevin about, and I learned the other day about specifically the Switch shop and its best sellers versus sale games. So like. And this totally makes sense in hindsight that this happens. But I guess what happens is, in order to get on the best sellers list, some people will reduce the price of their game to like a cent or 10 cents for the period of like a few days until they get up on the best sellers list, and then jack the price up again. So,
Is that how? Is that why they do that?
Yep,
yeah. And
I
so what
had
you'll
suspected
do,
that
yeah,
trend
they've
as well.
really sort of
yeah,
That makes
game the
so much
system
more
because
sense
there's some
now.
shit
Is you'll
on there.
yeah, you'll see really crappy games that when you go to like Metacritic or any site or wherever you go to look at games, it should be Switch
I
soon,
don't.
but whatever. But it you go there and you're like,
Nice
this game
plug, by
has
the way.
like one star, it's got a bunch of crap going wrong with it. What the heck is this game on the best sellers for? And it's because a million people bought it at 1 cent.
I
And
wondered why I bought so many games for 1 cent.
hey, I mean, if you got it for 1 cent, I think that it doesn't matter, right?
Usually
Like,
you have like the gold coins lying around, so it doesn't cost you
right.
anything.
It's basically free.
Right?
And supposedly Nintendo had fixed something where that wasn't as easy to do anymore, or you can't just like do it for shorter periods of time, or it takes longer to get to best sellers or something, but it seems like it's not working, basically, in so many words.
I guess I would say I have never clicked on the best sellers section
Neither had
on
I
Switch.
until I heard that.
Because I was like, I go to the sales, I go to new releases, but I've never gone to best sellers because I don't fucking care what other losers are playing.
Yeah, me either. Usually, if
I
I'm
was
going to go on
perusing it the
there,
other day.
yeah, if I'm going to go on there, I either know what I'm getting or like I'm just looking at all the new releases.
So, Joe, does that mean you're one of the losers?
Oh. Yeah, my opinions
Yeah,
are completely only validated if other people actually agree with them in mass quantities.
is that why on your gaming channel you're playing all the games that everyone else already played?
Hey-o.
Have I?
Wow.
That's what I'm
Has
going
anybody
to do, to
Zynga!
be name a
Honest.
person who's fucking heard of Cat Quest 2?
Me.
Kate.
Me. You
Well,
guys have played it already?
not
I
played
didn't
it.
even know the
I
game
bought it. I bought
existed
it
before.
after I watched you guys play. And it was
Kate
on
actually
sale the
bought
other
it.
day.
Sweet. Kate bought the first one totally unrelated to what you're doing. She said, "This looks fun." And I'm like, "Oh, it does, yeah."
It's super cute and fun.
It's mostly puns, and I dig that. But I just have to give
Yeah.
you shit.
To the point, it's puns to the point of pain now.
It's pretty bad.
It's gotten like we've had to take long game breaks and play other stuff so that we could recover.
Kate has definitely shared a couple of courtesy sniffs with me as far as the puns.
Courtesy sniffs? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, courtesy sniffs. You ever heard
Like
about that one?
she cupcaked you? Like she cupped it
No,
and threw it
no.
at you?
Like the redneck comedy guys. Haven't you heard about that? I think it's Jeff.
Yes.
No, either
No.
Jeff
It is
Foxworthy
Jeff
or.
Foxworthy.
It's That makes sense
Yeah.
though. I get it.
Yeah.
Where
The
it's
fart
you,
joke.
like you smell like an old gym bag that you forgot about, and you're like, oh my God, Kyle, come smell this.
It relates to what you were talking about, Kyle, the other day. Remember in the chat, and you were like, the
Nope.
difference between guys and girls is if a guy says,
Oh.
come smell this, it smells bad, but if a girl says, come smell this, it smells good.
There you
Math
go.
checks out.
Boom.
That's the one.
So suffice to
Confirmed.
say, though, if you see stuff on the best sellers list on the Switch shop, don't just buy it because it's up there. Like, take your time. I mean, you might like it. Who knows? And if it's only 1 cent, again, you're not really losing much, but
Well,
it can be hacked.
I guess,
Hacked.
like I said, I just don't, aside from Joe's rabid, like frothing at the mouth level of obsession with being, you know, recognized as his peers and shit.
Please somebody validate
my God,
my existence.
I just don't know why.
Every word of that sentence was just me waiting to you for you to finish the sentence. Like,
I just don't think there's any value in the best seller list. Like, I just don't understand that.
There's not. But it is kind of interesting to see, because this is the same thing that happened with the Steam Greenlight system while that was still up and running. Because people abused the shit out of that to just start flooding assetware out and make a quick... Because you can make a lot of money very quickly with that. If you're just throwing asset flips out there, pumping up those numbers, it can be slightly lucrative if you play it the right way.
And that's the part for me, like, I guess I've reached a point where I'm so jaded, I just assume that's happening anyway, so I don't even click on it. Like, oh, this is probably garbage.
That's fair, right. But I think other people... So, like, I personally look at new releases because, like, I may not hear when a game comes out and it might be something I missed.
No.
But other people might use bestseller because they don't want to think about it, or they want to see what other people else are playing or blah, blah,
blah. New releases make sense because you're like, oh, my God, shit. Like, I just bought a Castlevania combo.
Bundle, yeah.
Yeah. Because it had fucking Kid Dracula in it, which has never been released in the US market before.
Oh, really? They have that on there?
Is that like
Kid
Chameleon?
It was a part of the bundle.
Oh.
No, it's even more dumb.
Yeah.
So I bought it because it looks stupid and I want to see what the fuck it's all about. Plus, it's got like every other Castlevania from up to Super Nintendo. So I'm like, cool, one place to play them all. That'll be fun. I bet the ports are garbage. But it was like half off. So I was like, cool. But so I totally get watching new releases. And some of it's not that expensive, so you don't have to just go for shit that's on sale. I get that, but the part that throws me is you're looking at bestsellers on a platform that does not have a review system built in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was another big comment that this individual made who pointed this out, was that, like, all it would take for them to validate this is to just put a star review system in there. Like, all they have to do is put a star system. They don't have to have people leave comments or whatever. Like, it would be very simple to...
It would completely destroy the ability to game that.
Well, yeah, until people... Yeah, whatever, you're right. And I feel like
It would delay it until they figured out how to get past that,
Nintendo
too.
Accounts or something, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is Nintendo accounts aren't that easy to fake.
No, they're
that's
not.
True. That is true.
So
they just got hacked, so...
They did get hacked. That was a different situation, but, like, faking a Nintendo account ain't easy. Faking Nintendo purchases ain't easy. You can't just go buy that shit anywhere, right? So I think... I mean... Here's the other part. You control the platform. Mm-hmm. You can very easily require purchasing the game to review it.
Yeah, that made right. So another stringent thing that fits right in line with what you're saying is that they do not let you return digital copies at all in any form on the Nintendo Shop. Like,
yeah, so
once you buy it,
you're
done.
It'd be so hard to game that.
Yeah.
You couldn't game that.
So I agree. Yeah. I think it would be
asterisk. Yep.
Cool. You can't game
it.
You can game
anything, actually. You can action grid anything.
You can action grid.
You can action grid.
So let's hard shift. So unless Kevin wants to talk about Slay the Spire, which we can, I have something else I want to talk
about.
Well,
one thing, I think just before we move on, I think I think Kyle's idea was good, which we talked about. I think I'm going to, as a part of Switch Soup, I might try to just start buying, like, penny games, playing them for, like, half an hour.
Like, shotgun
reviews. Yeah, just, like, one paragraph reviews. Like, this is the worst thing I've ever played, or this is actually pretty good
for
a penny.
What you should do is you should buy the game for whatever the cheapest price is, right? And then you should spend that many minutes playing it, and then that many minutes reviewing it.
Like, if it's a cent, he spends 1 minute?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Talk about that 5 minute experience being important, right?
That would actually be pretty funny.
That might be funny because you could do like the 10 cent one, the 30 cent one, the 50 cent ones. You spend like an hour, or whatever, and the 1 minute one that you spend 1 minute playing and then 1 minute reviewing.
Didn't
you
get past title screen.
I waited long enough to uninstall.
No, I mean 1 minute of typing. It was like, shit sucks. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So look
funny.
Out for that.
I mean, do what you want. I will. If you write it in the next couple of weeks, I'll put it in this episode.
You won't.
No, I've got a handful of stuff I got to write, actually.
So do you want to talk about Slay the Spire, or should I talk about my freak organizational methods?
Well, damn, they both sound good, really.
Shit, huh?
Yeah.
That's a solid set. Can I say one thing, just because we just talked about exploitation?
Sure.
And rather exploits of a system. I had the most marvelous piece of spam last week, and I just want to share it real quick. Shouldn't take 2 minutes, okay?
Sure.
What I got was, it was all in Russian, and it got right through all my spam filters, right up to the top of my Gmail, right in updates or something like that, right? Like in one of my tabs. And I'm like, wow, this is really clearly spam. And it got right past everything. Why is that? It was a Google Forms notification telling me the results of my filling out a form, which was a bunch of Russian inviting me to click on a bullshit link for some free porn or whatever that was going to steal my information.
Sure, sure.
What they had done was they created a Google form in Google, perfectly legitimate, and then they filled out that form with the content of their bullshit that they wanted to send me. And as the email section of the form, which is where it sends you the confirmation of your form, they put my email. So they used Google Forms email notification system, which is trusted by Google, to completely circumvent all of my spam filters.
Holy damn. Shit.
Isn't that fucking clever?
Well, and it's yeah. Russian stuff. You're into Russian stuff. You would have.
Well, I actually recognize Zdravstvuyte as the first word, which is like, huh, I know that word.
Yeah.
I cheated and translated the rest of it. But then here's the fun part. This is the part that I find really interesting, and I'm going to publicly disclose this so that it's obvious that I'm not going to attempt it because I find this quite interesting. In the email you get sent, there's nowhere to click report abuse or report an issue or unsubscribe, because in their mind, you've volunteered for this email. You've asked for this email. But if you click through to the form, because if you go to Google, if anyone's filled out a Google form, you can click through and see your form entry, theoretically edit it if it's supported with the configuration. If you go to the form's website, there is a report abuse button on the bottom, which I did to be a good citizen of the internet and tell them somebody fucked with your shit. Whoever created this form is probably, phishing. What occurred to me, though, is there is no report abuse button in the email. So if you included another hyperlink at the very bottom of your text that said, oh, report abuse for a fraudulent email, and you click on it, and it takes you to a fake Google site that makes you log in again, you could double fish people and get them to enter their Google creds. in order to report
brutal
abuse.
Yeah, that's nuts. That was, I thought when you said that the other day, I was like, wow, that seems like a really big oversight that, like, doesn't seem like it should have made it out to the
product.
Well,
the big disconnect is that since I reported abuse, it's going to flag the form.
Yeah.
If enough people do that, the form creator will get in trouble. If they did that with a burner Google account, it doesn't really matter, but eventually they're going to have to start, like, they'll have to find some way of ensuring your Google, your email, or something. Like, this could actually be an interesting new problem. But mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that because I thought it was really cool, and I thought it was kind of funny to think about adding a fake report abuse button to force people to log in to report abuse and then stealing their creds.
So I'm not going to lie. When you said you had the perfect piece of spam, at first I really thought you opened up a can of spam, like fried it in butter.
Dude, I've never had spam before, but I've seen so many people making like spam sushi stuff, like where they basically fry sushi and roll it and make it.
Yeah. Go to Ohana Grill over by Lakeside. Sushi. They do a spam quote unquote sushi thing. It's fucking delicious.
Anyways, I don't know. That's what went. Maybe I'm hungry. Okay, I don't know. So. But you said spam, and
you probably are. No,
it sounded kind of tasty.
Fair. I normally people don't call it piece of spam, so that's on me.
Oh, speaking of food. I made barbacoa again the other day.
Yo!
It was great. It's probably the easiest thing you can ever make, and it is mm-hmm. delicious. Mm-hmm. You get pork roast or you get brisket, chop it up into like big, like 2 or 3 inch pieces, and like try to sear it. I just usually cook the outside. I don't necessarily sear it per se because my pans aren't meant to go that hot, and I don't feel like using a cast iron. Regardless, I get heated up, cook it on the outside just a little bit, and then you pop it into a crock pot. Make sure you have a big enough crock pot, because usually brisket and chuck roast is like 3 to 7 pounds. So
they're big.
It can be big. Then all you have to do, this is so fucking easy. You get chilies and adobo sauce in a can. You can get it from the store. Mm-hmm. Lime juice, various other spices that you can find easily in any recipe, and then a few other things, and you put them into a blender. You blend it up, pour that shit over the fucking brisket, let it cook for 8 hours on low, pulls right apart. Put it back in for like maybe like 30 minutes to an hour to like kind of get it the outside of the pulled stuff cooked, or you can eat it right there. It doesn't really matter. Depends on how you like it.
Yep.
Easy as fuck. Now, the other part, though, is that I tried to do what you suggested, Kendrick, and I tried to, like, fry it up.
Yeah.
It didn't work so well for me again because, like, I couldn't get my pan hot, and I didn't feel like getting my pan that hot, kind of fucked it up. But it was good. It's a good way to reheat it because reconstitutes all that fat and stuff, and put it over French fries and cheese, so we made
What you could do is put it on a sheet pan.
Yeah.
And bake broil it. Or broil it. That'll give you the crispy edges. And I'm sorry to derail the food thing, Kyle. I did really, you were talking about, you had a thing you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, it's the sit sock, baby. Sit sock, baby. But I'm just hungry. Saying, if you want to, no, and now I'm hungry too, because I was going to talk about all the shit I've been making.
I already ate dinner.
I need to get some spam.
But brisket. So what I ended up doing with the brisket is I put about, let's see, like maybe like two cups on the side and saved it. And then I made burritos and breakfast burritos with the rest and froze them. Breakfast. So I've been. So after. Okay. Here we go. Fuck this. We're gonna talk about this now.
We're talking about food now. Sorry.
I watched. Sorry, person talking about food. I watched an episode of Game Grumps or 10 Minute Power Hour where, Aaron made Danny a like crunch wrap. Basically, he's making him a breakfast crunch wrap or something.
Right. Right. The breakfast crunch wraps.
The only thing I liked about the thing I liked the most about that episode was Aaron's suggestion on cooking eggs and how to scramble eggs. So I've been experimenting with how to scramble eggs in pan. Usually I like to add stuff to my eggs beforehand. And I like scrambling them. And the way that you make this like ultimate breakfast sandwich, which is like have I shocked you guys about that? Like the French toast breakfast sandwich thing.
And then it's like
it's golden.
It's golden magic in your mouth. It's probably one of the best things you get, especially if you get really nice cheese and put it on, because the way the cheese melts around everything, it melts out of your sandwich, and it's anyway, I make them like once a week. But so I've been experimenting with this whole like scramble the eggs after frying them a little bit thing, right? And sometimes I don't scramble them soon enough, and sometimes my pan's too hot. But in the end, it ends up making some like really interesting kind of scrambled eggs where you get a little bit more of that white cooked in there before it gets mixed with the yolk. It's really good. It adds a lot of texture. I don't know if they're as fluffy as Aaron's making them out to me, but it definitely adds more texture to the
something
egg.
Something to do with the bread.
And you can just put whatever you want in the
pan.
It's
almost like a French toast, but without all the sweetness. But then you're making sandwich with it.
That's the French toast sandwich. Yeah, but I'm talking about scrambling eggs in the pan, because you usually have to scramble the eggs before you do the French toast.
Right. Well, if you're gonna scramble them traditionally, you use a fork or a whisk to introduce air into the mixture, right? And that's supposed to be what makes it fluffy. But when you're doing that, I think the concern. I don't remember what Aaron said. I watched that like twice because I actually really enjoyed it, but forget what he said, but there was something about whipping it beforehand. Did it mess up the protein? I can't remember what he said.
Yeah, he said it said something about how it has to do with how you mix the whites and you have to like cooking the whites a little bit before you mix them affects the texture.
The trick is there's different types of proteins and chemicals in the yolk and the white. So the proteins will denature and tangle together, which is why the whites always cook faster than the yolks, because the yolks have a lot more vitamins and other things in there that interfere with the proteins re-entangling. And so if you let the whites cook a little bit, that will definitely have an impact on the resultant texture, because you've got those little chunks of white, the albumin proteins forming. I watch way too many YouTube videos about cooking at this point, by the way, guys.
No, it's not possible.
be a problem.
What I also suggest too is I absolutely love breakfast. I don't know if this is not known, but it's known. Like, I literally changed my fasting time so I could go back to eating breakfast and skip dinner because, I just love breakfast
Dude,
so much.
We
so
had breakfast for dinner
one of the
tonight.
Things that, I mean, you can do it. I'm just saying, just like, saying. There's a routine and like a feeling when you're making breakfast in the morning.
Kyle, I would tell you that you should not feel defensive about that, because I don't think anyone here is going to fault you.
It's like Kevin was saying, you don't have to eat breakfast for breakfast, and I get that, you fucking ass. Okay.
But it's not the same.
Yeah. Anyway, Amy made breakfast for me the other day, and she basically did what I had never thought about before. I always make toast in a toaster, and it always comes out pretty dry. Just because of the way that we usually do sourdough and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it comes out kind of dry. So what she did was she actually put a bunch of butter in the pan and fried it in a pan. So she pan fried the toast. And so I did that the other day, but I did it with bacon fat because I have bacon fat. If you like toast, don't ever toast your toast. Pan fry your toast.
Yeah,
even if it is just butter, because you will never, ever go back. And it is
frankly,
the best texture, the best taste, the best flavor. It's
even if you don't put oil in, pan frying will probably dry it out less because there's less air circulating around, and mm-hmm. the moisture is less likely to just evaporate out completely.
I will say, having done it with and without butter and with like lower and higher different types of fat, I do prefer doing it with a decent amount of butter. You kind of do want to fry it, and as opposed yeah. to just heat it.
That's why it's so good. It's like
to
fried.
Get the best flavor.
Ooh.
Yeah,
what was
and
it? Somebody. So. Some that was a apocryphal joke from one of the comedians. It was like a dude was 85 years old and smoked every day in his life. And someone said, "Well, what do you eat every day to live this long?" He's like, "I eat white bread, fried and fat back," which is basically what you said, yeah. bacon, fat and fried bread. And every time I've heard that, I'm always like, "I mean, even if you don't live that long, that's a good way to go." Because
yeah.
fuck yeah.
yeah. I will also say, sorry, I'm going to just keep talking, so I'm sorry. We're in breakfast talk food mode
Dude,
now.
This is right. this is your domain, yep. sir.
Okay, so Amy and I watched this video on how to make like potato cakes, but I kind of reappropriated it for making instant hash brown type stuff. So basically, and I've been doing this with a lot of things. So we don't eat food in time period it's normally good to eat it in. So we'll buy fruit and it'll go bad, or we'll buy potatoes and they'll turn green, blah, 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 right? Like, we don't usually eat stuff that fast because we enjoy eating out and we like having that kind of idea of not cooking and blah, blah, blah.
I think that's called quarantine right now, but go on.
So we get fruit. And so what I started doing with fruit is I start freezing it because it turns out you can freeze your own fruit. And I never thought about it before now. And you can freeze it right before it goes bad. And it like lasts basically forever if you mm-hmm. freeze it. So freezing it, make a smoothie out of it. Boom, you get your fruit.
Yep.
And it's easy and you don't have to worry about your fruit going bad. The reason I'm selling this, and it's so obvious, is because I never thought about it before last week or 2 weeks ago. And I was just like, why the fuck have I been doing this? Like, I have Ziploc bags that could be in the freezer.
What have I been doing in my
freezer.
Life?
Yeah. Suffice to say, I did that similar thing with potatoes, where my potatoes were kind of getting a little green. So I kind of made sure that the parts I was doing this with weren't green. But because you don't really want green potatoes, I guess, is what I mean.
The green potatoes contain an increased amount of that toxin whose name I always forget that can cause stomach cramps for a lot of people and potentially can cause food poisoning.
Yeah, so if your potatoes are green or they're like, yeah, you'll know. And when they're really soft too. But anyway, what you do, take a cheese grater and you just grate the potato, make your hash browns, right? Boom. That's hash browns. Just in case you didn't know how you make your own hash browns,
it's
very simple.
It's true.
It's very
cheese
simple.
Cheese grater, yep.
Now, the key, I think, is, again, using something like frying your toast. Put enough oil or fat in your pan to just, like, not have them submerged, but have it, like, have one side of it basically be completely in
lots
oil.
Lots of oil.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't say lots of oil. Don't ever submerge your potatoes, I don't think. But
well, unless you're deep frying them.
Well,
in that case, you want to get, like, rid of all the moisture, right? You want to don't be, like, dry.
Either way. I was going to say that. Either way, if you want good hash browns, blot that shit. Get a towel, paper towel, something. Get that moisture
completely.
Out of there because
oh,
you
that was,
gotta
so that's
get the
next
the
part, right?
Off of it.
We use cheesecloth because cheesecloth works really well.
Really
you can use paper towel too. And again, using paper towel, if you collect your bacon fat, you should pour it through paper towels or something like that to get all the chunks out and the fat comes out clean. Lasts
and
longer.
That will,
blah blah blah.
Yeah, it lasts a lot longer. Yep.
Especially and refrigerate your fat too. If you didn't know that, refrigerate your fat so it doesn't go rancid.
And never dump it down
but
the sink.
Anyway, sorry. You can dump it down the sink. That's debatable.
Just not hot.
That's not hot.
You can do it. Don't dump a lot down the sink. Run really hot water. You can use ice to clean it out. There's ways to do it. Don't worry so much about it.
No.
But
don't put a lot of fat or coffee grounds down your sink.
Yeah, don't do coffee grounds. Fat is
a little bit
as bad.
A little bit is fine, but don't do a lot because the problem is even hot water, it'll cool somewhere down the pipe and could potentially exacerbate blockages.
Yeah,
that's dumb.
Anyway,
don't.
Moving forward.
Don't do that.
You shouldn't pour stuff down the sink that you don't want to get clogged down your sink in general. But a little bit of fat here and there isn't going to kill anything. And look, let's be real. You're going to move out of the house eventually. It's going to be someone else's problem.
A tablespoon's fine. A quarter cup's bad. Go on.
That's pretty
accurate. Anyway, you could just put the fat in the trash can or save it in a jar like every normal person does and throw the jar out.
I made bacon rolls the other day where I made my usual bread recipe. And instead of any butter or olive oil, I just used bacon fat.
Mm-hmm.
And they were amazing. They were almost creamy because the bacon fat has a different quality to it when it cools than the butter. Mm-hmm. So the resultant rolls were kind of, they weren't super dense. Like they were dense, but they weren't like hard. And they were the best breakfast sandwich rolls you've ever had. Because you put a piece of fried ham on there, all of a sudden that fried ham now tastes more like bacon because it's got the bacon roll.
Fact.
Yeah.
But basically, use your fats again. I don't actually use ground beef fat that much. Maybe I could. I don't really think about it. But
you
anyway,
can. You can actually fry potatoes in it, and it's really good.
That makes sense. So grade your potatoes. You don't even have to skin them, actually. You just grade your potatoes into a cheesecloth or a paper towel. Put them into a cheesecloth, paper towel. Squeeze the living fuck out of them. Like, make sure you squeeze them. Then, like, kind of move them around a little bit. Squeeze them. And then you can do the dab thing if you want. I don't do the dabbing thing as much, but because it's not the way they come out is fine with me. If the more you dab them, the crispier they get, blah blah blah. But
yep.
So then what you can do though is if you let them sit out for a little bit, or you can cook them. If you're gonna cook them, just cook them. Don't worry about it. But you can put them in a freezer bag and put them in the freezer, just like you would with frozen potatoes. Like so.
Totally. Especially if you get the moisture out, because then there's nothing to crystallize and get fucking weird.
Yep. And so, turns out you can make stuff and freeze it. Just like you can buy it from the store, and it's not super hard. So if you're feeling like you need a change in your, routine, try fucking making stuff and prepping it. I will say, I know it seems so trivial, but, try stuff at home. Don't be afraid to try cooking
things.
That's
true.
I think I'm stoked about the one upside I shouldn't say I'm stoked about coronavirus, but the one upside of this pandemic is I feel like a lot more people are cooking and baking and realizing what you can do when you don't. When you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next time on Sitsock, we can talk about air fry recipes I've tried and nailed.
Here's a quick one for you. Meg's been doing these, chicken taco or burrito filling. And just taking, a chicken breast, putting it in the slow cooker, dumping, a whole can of, jar of, paste picante or some kind of, salsa in there.
Just regular
cheap
just
salsa.
Hey, just to be fair, that's how you can make any kind of meat, taco meat in a slow cooker. Is
and then she
it,
that
the
those
anybody
those
wonders.
Adobos you were talking about, she puts some of those in there too to get some spice
or green chilies
or jalapenos, whatever you want.
That stuff works.
And lets it cook for half the day, and then you have chicken tacos for the week.
Pulled chicken tacos.
Yep. Because it's done, you just shred it, and it just falls apart, and you just have shredded chicken tacos.
Yeah.
And it's cheap and easy.
Delicious.
The salsa as a seasoning thing is something I didn't realize till about 2 years ago.
It's so handy.
But it's such an easy way to get rid of old salsa too. I mean, a lot of this stuff is nice because you can put stuff that's maybe a little bit older into it, and then it cooks all day.
Yep.
And generally, it doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
So
no,
yeah,
definitely.
I mean, maybe watch out for the botulism stuff, but yeah.
Real quick, is Joe still alive?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, you guys were just talking food, and I didn't want to stop.
He just
this
stop.
Is a food talk. We're in food talk.
Food talk, sit food. Kate had some cherries left over from the week, and I foolishly didn't put them back in the fridge, so they're starting to get a little soft. And I was like, okay, what can I do with leftover cherries? I was a little labor intensive because they hadn't been pitted, so I had to pit them.
Oh, use a boba straws. That's what I started using.
I did not have one in Bailey. Yeah.
Well, that's
I just used a knife and patience.
Yeah.
And here's the thing you can do: you take a pound of cherries, cut them in half, take out the pits. And
not like an avocado,
them.
By the way. It's very not easy to
do
take
not,
out cherry pits.
There's a trick you can do with a paring knife that's really straightforward, but gets cherry juice all over everything. So be mindful how you do it.
Sounds
but
delicious.
Take your cherries, okay? Put it in with a cup and a quarter of red wine. A quarter cup of sugar, a quarter teaspoon of almond flavor extract, and something like a half a tablespoon or a tablespoon of balsamic vinegar. And you reduce that down until it becomes a syrup. And what you have is the most amazing sort of pseudo cherry pie filling you can put on top of ice cream.
Damn.
And it... Oh god, it was so good. It was so decadent.
Put it
and
in
it wasn't,
anything, man. Yeah, you can put that inside
it was
of like
sweet.
A little.
Yeah, but it wasn't super sweet. And you probably could have reduced it a little more than we did, or you can add cornstarch to thicken it if you want. But it was such a good little ice cream topper.
All right, we're at 28 minutes. We got to stop.
Yeah,
even though I'm the fuck out of it. So we'll probably do these segments for more
food
often.
Food talk,
because we all seem to like to talk about.
We
food.
All like food.
Yeah,
food
so.
Talk.
So. Like, comment, and subscribe if you like cherries.
Or breakfast food.
Or breakfast food. I like cherries or breakfast food. Hey.
Did you say, have you ever done sugar or PCP?
Yeah. Shit. All right, guys. Stop
Bye.
Recording
Bye.
Now. Stop listening now.